Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Netweb Technologies Limited Q4 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Seema Nayak from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I welcome everyone to Netweb Technologies Q4 FY26 earnings call. We have the pleasure of having with us the senior management team of Netweb Technologies, led by CMD, Mr. Sanjay Lodha, Full-Time Director, Mr. Navin Lodha, CFO, Mr. Ankit Kumar Singhal, Chief Sales and Marketing Officer, Mr. Hirdey Vikram, Chief Strategy Officer, Mukul Kedia, and Head of Lotus Advisors, the IR advisor to Netweb Technologies, Mr. Sanjeev Sancheti. Without further delay, I'd like to hand over the floor to Mr. Sanjeev Sancheti. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Seema. Good afternoon to all the participants. Before I hand over the call to Mr. Sanjay Lodha for the opening remarks, I would like to draw your attention to the safe harbor statement in the earnings call presentation. I request each one of you to go through the presentation thoroughly before the Q&A starts so that you are aware of the same. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Lodha.
Thank you, Seema and Sanjeev. Good afternoon, and warm welcome to all of you to Netweb Technologies Q4 Financial Year 26 earnings call. We are pleased to announce that Netweb Technologies delivered a landmark year with revenue from operations reaching 21,836 million in Financial Year 26, reflecting a strong year-on-year growth of 90%. This record annual performance underscores the strength of our business model and accelerating demand for high-end computing systems in India. For Q4 Financial Year 26, revenue from operations stood at 7,737 million, growing at 86.6% year-on-year, demonstrating strong execution momentum as we close the year on a high note. PAT for the quarter stood at 706 million, representing 65.7% year-on-year growth with a PAT margin of 9%. For the full year, PAT stood at 2,058 million, up by 80.9% year-on-year with a PAT margin of 9.3%. These results reflect not just top-line momentum but disciplined margin sustained across our businesses. The defining highlight of Financial Year 26 has been the performance of our AI segment, which grew by 459.6% year-on-year. This growth was a result of years of focused in-house R&D, enabling us to design and manufacture some of the world's most powerful, latest-generation AI systems, combined with disciplined planning and execution of large, strategically significant national-scale orders. AI systems contributed 43.4% of our total operating revenue in Financial Year 26, a transformational shift from a revenue mix that firmly positioned our total operating positions Netweb at the center of AI infrastructure build-out. The other two core segments, HPC and private cloud, continue to exhibit robust demand, reinforcing the breadth and resilience of our technology portfolio. The performance is a direct reflection of Netweb's unwavering commitment to in-house design and manufacture of next-gen high-end computing systems. This fully aligns with the global phenomenon of sovereign compute infra needs, which is very well addressed by Netweb and countries' Make in India vision. We take immense pride in creating significant impact in strengthening India's emergence as a credible global hub for high-technology manufacturing, which will benefit the nation for decades to come. Beyond our own performance, we believe India stands at the threshold of generational opportunity in artificial intelligence. With the world's largest pool of digital users, a fast-maturing data ecosystem, the major boost to indigenous foundation models, and decisive policy momentum through India AI Mission, supported by Make in India, the country is poised to emerge as one of the most prominent AI economies of the world. Central to this vision is government's clear focus on sovereign AI infrastructure, ensuring that the compute, data and models powering India's digital future is built, owned and operated within the country. The build-out of indigenous AI compute is no longer aspirational. It is a strategic national imperative tied directly to economic competitiveness, data security and technological self-reliance. As India's only full-stack domestic provider for high-end computing system, NetWeb is uniquely positioned to power this transition. Our strategy remains firmly anchored on our three growth pillars, HPC, private cloud and AI systems, supported by our established technology leadership in high-end computing system space for large order pipeline. As we step into financial year 27, from a position of strength, with a firm order book of around 2100 crore and an L1 inclusive order book of 2400 crore, day one of financial year 27, we already have on our book the more than what we had built for all of last year. We see a long runway of growth ahead. We remain committed to investing in R&D, manufacturing depth and talent to ensure India's AI ambition are built on strong foundation, and that NetWeb continues to create durable, long-term value for all our stakeholders. I now request Ankit to take through the financials. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lodha. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining our earnings call. Before we open the floor for Q&A, I will provide a brief overview of the financial performance for the quarter and the year gone by. I trust by that now, you have had the opportunity to review our earnings presentation and press release. While our CMD has already discussed the macro outlook, I will elaborate on the financial performance, providing a more detailed analysis. First, on the quarterly numbers, our operating income for Q4 FY26 stood at ₹7,737 million, showcasing a growth of 86.6% YOY. Our adjusted operating EBITDA for Q4 FY26 stood at ₹1,018 million, showcasing a growth of 71.8% YOY. Adjusted EBITDA includes the impact of mark-to-market losses on certain payables, against which corresponding hedging gains were recorded. As per accounting standards, MTM losses are recognized within expenses while related hedging gains are classified under other income. To better reflect the operating performance, hedging gains of ₹52.4 million have been added back to EBITDA to the extent they offset the MTM losses on the same underlying payables. Our operating EBITDA for Q4 FY26 stood at ₹966 million, showcasing a growth of 63% YOY. Profit after tax for Q4 FY26 stood at ₹706 million, showcasing a growth of 65.7% YOY with a margin of 9%. Now moving on to the annual numbers, operating income for the full year FY26 stood at ₹21,836 million, showcasing a growth of 90% YOY. Adjusted operating EBITDA for FY26 stood at ₹2,901 million, showcasing a growth of 82.4% YOY. Operating EBITDA for the full year FY26 stood at ₹2,848 million, showcasing a growth of 79.1% YOY. Profit after tax for the full year FY26 stood at ₹2,058 million, showcasing a growth of 80.9% YOY with a margin of 9.3%. Now I would like to throw some light on key balance sheet ratios. Return on equity stood at a healthy 32.9%, while return on capital employed for the same period was 37.5%. The gross fixed asset turnover ratio stood at 33.2% times as on 31st March 2026. Our cash conversion cycle as at March 2026 stood at 84 days. receivable days improved from 114 days in December 2025 to 86 days in March 2026, reflecting stronger collections. Inventory days increased from 60 days in December 2025 to 86 days in March 2026, primarily on account of buildup of raw material stock, both to support the execution of large strategic orders and to secure adequate inventory of key inputs in light of surging global demand of AI compute infrastructure. Our balance sheet strength is reflected by us being a zero net debt company. The company had net free cash of ₹833 million as on 31st March 2026. The net cash generated from operating activities was ₹1,715 million for the financial year 2026. The board has recommended a dividend of ₹3 per share, subject to shareholders' approval. Our strategic roadmap and growth priorities remains on track, supported by a huge demand for high-end computing solutions, a healthy order book, and a solid pipeline. We are positioned to deliver consistent revenue and profitability in the upcoming fiscal year. Looking ahead, we remain confident of sustaining strong momentum and are guiding a growth, revenue growth of 35-40% over the next couple of years. With this, I now hand over the call to Seema.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Renu Baid from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, team, and congratulations for the good performance. So the first question is, while we had alluded to the fact that sequentially execution will be broadly flattish, can you also input in terms of, despite significantly higher share of organic growth coming in from the base business, our gross margins technically have not improved, and EBITDA margins sequentially were broadly at 12.5%. So what has constrained the margin expansion despite significant jump up in base business revenues this quarter?
So, Renu, just a couple of things. One, that it is not that the strategic orders have been lagging behind, it's just that they spilled over to the next quarter. Okay, so we are on track on that, and we enter the new financial with a very strong order book of about 2100 plus about 350 crores of the L1, so we enter with 2400, which is more than the last year's revenue. As far as the margins are concerned, I think you need to see the margin adjusted of the forex loss and gain. So actually we've done better than the last quarter, and that is reflective of how the margin is proceeded to be, and it is within the guidance.
Sure, because I was looking at the gross margin level, which sequentially does not show improvement there. Understand, that's point number one. And point number two, so how are we looking at the pipeline of order flows, both for the base business, also on the strategic business? We haven't heard of any meaningful large order wins or L1 in the last couple of quarters. So how is the order pipeline from the private service providers as well as from the direct government orders for the AI infrastructure here?
Viduji, actually, if you really see what I said in my commentary very, very clearly, basically the way the business is looking to me is really fabulous, actually, really speaking. I'm showing an order book of around basically 2100 crores, but if I add the L1, it is 2400 crores, which is more than the orders, more than my revenue, current year's revenue. I think that itself is a very, very solid thing. If you really see, at the beginning of the year, we are entering a year with a very, very too heavy and too robust order book already. Okay, so whatever has to be added will be added. And plus, so as to basically organic business is growing, That means that our run rate and our other business is growing. The company is not dependent on strategic orders, as I have always been telling you, that primarily the company is running primarily on its own organic way and is growing in its organic way. The strategic orders we are announcing as and when it is coming. We have a lot of discussions. You are aware about the kind of AI demand which is happening not only in India but across the world. Okay, and basically, and it seems like it will go on for at least the next 18 to 24 months. So we have a huge basically pipeline wherein basically a lot of opportunities are there. And I think there is no dearth of orders, actually, really speaking.
Got it. So basically, extra strategic orders of almost 16.5 billion. The base order book today is about 5 billion rupees, and including the L1 orders, it should add up close to 900 crores or 9 billion, if I am right in terms of numbers. Does that broadly fall in place?
Order book. So I think the total order book, if you look today, is 2100 crores plus about 300 crores, so 24 plus 100 crores is the order book including L1. And to that you add 4400 crores of pipeline. So that will stack up to, let's say, about how much?
6,500.
6,500, yeah. So that's the total, including pipeline and order book.
So, no, I was just referring to the base orders, excluding strategic. So, strategic orders in the backlog is about close to 16.5 billion. And if I knock that off from the 64 billion order book, including L1, then today we have close to 8 billion.
Yeah, you are right.
Got it. So, base business should be on track for 30-35% CAGR growth that we have been suggesting.
Yeah, basically, I think seeing the order book, you yourself will get that conviction.
Right. And on the operating margins, do we think the cost headwinds on the current environment we have been fully able to pass through? And EBITDA margins of 13-13.5%, are they sustainable going forward for 27-28? And what would be your headline guidance for fiscal 27 on revenue, EBITDA margins and CAPEX?
So basically, it will remain almost all the same. Actually, let Ankit answer.
Yeah. So, Renu, so on the operating EBITDA margins, we are guiding 13-14%. If you understand that there is a high top line growth and we are still sustaining the EBITDA margin, so that primarily gives the validation and the resilience in the margins we are maintaining. So, in this way, if you see with this growth, the leverage is already embedded in the margin. So that's why we are guiding this 13-14% range for next couple of years. And on the revenue growth, we are guiding 35-40% growth.
And CAPEX for fiscal 27, what are the plans there?
So with the current CAPEX, we are able to sustain the growth. There is no CAPEX expansion. No significant CAPEX is expected in this financial year 27. So there will be the routine CAPEX that will be coming across.
Okay, so we can expect the 20-25 crores of base spending will continue.
Yeah, more or less.
Got it. Sure, thanks much, sir. I'll get back in the queue with more questions. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Seema Nayak from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congrats on good organic growth. So how will the timeline for execution of the remaining strategic order will pan out? That's my first question. And second question is regarding data center growth, which has slowed down. So can you share the reason behind it? Are we seeing increased competition here? And what will be the target cash conversion cycle for FY27? Yeah, these are my questions.
So basically, strategic order timeline, basically, it's definitely as we have mentioned it, I think it is expected it to be done quarter by quarter, and we expect that within the next 3 quarters, I think we expect it to be done. Okay, as regards the strategic order is concerned. And the next question was
the data center degrowth.
Yeah, basically I think you need to see it, ma'am, actually very clearly. There are 3 pillars of growth actually which we have. So basically just don't go by the name.
The first is the HPC, that is supercomputing. That's already growing, and that has been always been around 30% of our business. But since this year, AI became 43% of our business, still it's 24% of our business. It's not growing, it's not stagnating, it's growing. But basically, since AI is doing much faster, actually. The data center in our case is the private cloud and HCI. Please understand that. So these are the three pillars. First is HPC, second is private cloud, and third is AI. And private cloud is the data center business, which used to be around 30-35% of the business. That is showing us 24% because of the AI. AI was 15%, it has become 43%. So that's the reason we are saying that number. But in reality, it is growing at a good momentum. Definitely not growing as good as AI, but definitely it's growing at a good momentum. The data center which you are saying, there is no degrowth. The data center servers which you are saying, that's not a focus area for us because we are not into box selling. It was only some marginal 5% of the business, and it's around that, so we don't even track it. Our business, if you see totality, more than 95% comes from these three segments: HPC, private cloud, and AI system.
Third question. Third question was the cash conversion cycle. So, Seema, our cash conversion cycle typically operates from 90 to 110 days. Now, this is something which cannot be projected for next year at least, but we would like to say that the range will remain like that. There will be some increase in the inventory days projected for this year also. So, but we will stay within the range of 90 to 110. That's what we see.
Got it. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Harindra Singh from Blackstone. Please go ahead.
Hi. My question is basically on the India AI demand. So India is somewhere around 1.5 gigawatt current, and by 2030 the country plan is to go up to 9 gigawatt. First question is, the way the industry as a country, we are going to grow from 1.5 gigawatt to 9 gigawatt. Do you see your industrial growth in line with the current country expectation? And second question is, a lot of hyperscalers like Amazon, Microsoft, they are going very aggressive in the country, and they are building up more than 1 gigawatt capacity in Hyderabad, Mumbai. So, I saw Yota as your one of the customers. Are you focused on hyperscalers or do you have any growth plans going into directly hyperscalers rather than the co-location providers? Thank you.
So basically, first thing is that India AI mission, you know, is based on many pillars. Actually, there are 5 or 7 pillars out there, actually, really speaking. And government, you know, that Prime Minister's focus is very, very clearly on the basically, India has to become a leading country for providing AI solutions, actually. So the government has been very clearly focusing upon it, has been working very hard, and has been trying to bring AI on the forefront for the country so that India makes an impact to the world on the AI space, actually. And so that is going on very well in track. Government's current spending budget, they are even ready to expand that also if they are able to do it. So it's really, the budget is not the main criteria there. The criteria is how fast they are able to spend the money and how fast they are able to get in the new infrastructure. So there are two parts of it, as we have been telling you, telling every time, that one is basically government is trying to basically send out GPUs from various new cloud providers like Yota and others. And basically another is that government is trying to set up their own infra. So setting up their own infra is taking time. But definitely that process has also started. But in the meantime, basically they are trying to take it in the RFP model, they are trying to take GPUs from various kind of neo cloud providers. So that is going on track, and that's happening very clearly. And the government's own demand is also there. So as regards your particularly on the side of what is the kind of spend that is happening, is basically it's a large amount. They were talking about 10,000 GPUs, which became 25,000 GPUs. Now they are even ready to go up to 100,000 GPUs also. So government's focus is very clear. Very clearly, they want to create AI infrastructure in the country. So all the AI startups and all the people who want to work on AI
they don't feel the pinch of it, and the GPs are made available to them so that they can really do their work. If you got a chance, you might have even seen the success of AI, India AI Summit, the kind of traction it got, the kind of people who are attending it. It was only targeted at 100,000 people, but more than 700,000 people really attended it. So the kind of basically the Prime Minister himself was there for 3 days, so you can very well understand the kind of focus and attention they are trying to give it. As regards your question, basically primarily that are we targeting hyperscalers? At this point of time, my answer is that at this point of time, we are not targeting really hyperscalers, because India is a market in which basically still is not a hyperscaler driven market. It's primarily more of a sovereign and those kind of market actually it is currently it is. But definitely if hyperscalers come and if they are interested, we can definitely bid for them, we can definitely work with them. But at this point of time, we are not targeting hyperscalers, and I don't see India is a hyperscaler market. They are trying to set up large data centers, but still these are in greenfield projects. They will take time so as to basically come up. Maybe Hirday can add.
Yes, I think you have already covered all the details. And as regards, you know, demand is concerned, Harinder, I can definitely tell you the way the, you know, investments are going up, especially from the government side, and now the enterprise investment has also started coming in. So it clearly paves the way for us, and we find there are a lot of headroom for us to grow. And as you rightly mentioned, that currently the capacity which India holds in terms of data center, there is anyways going to go up. So that clearly shows that, you know, there is no dearth in, you know, as regards the demand is concerned. So we definitely want to, you know, engage the opportunity, and this is what we are doing. So you can find a, you know, lot of good quarters coming our way.
Yeah. Thanks. So that these are the two questions. So the way the industry and the AI industry is changing, so a lot of companies like TCS, they have come up with a company style like HyperVault, where they are serving these hyperscalers, providing them colo services, where they are making huge 50-55% of margin. In future, if you see growth into these business, and happy to see you in other areas also where which are more profitable and you can add value because you are contributing to major part of the items which goes into the data center. Yeah.
All these initiatives really add to our business actually. All the basically, you see all these, we call them global service providers actually, or basically GSIs like TCS, Infosys, and basically Wipro and all these. So basically they are all evolving and they are all developing different kinds of products so as to service the AI workload. So all these basically offer us more opportunities, and all these are our customers or our global customers. We are under NDA, so we cannot disclose which customer what they are trying to do. But all these definitely add, because they need AI infrastructure, they need the AI stack and everything which needs to be done. On that basis, on that they offer the services to the customer. So more and more AI workload is coming to them, and so that AI workload delivery is there. So definitely that's a good business opportunity for us.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the question queue, please restrict yourselves to 2 questions per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Next question is from the line of Akshay from AK Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, first of all, congratulations for the great set of numbers.
Your voice is low.
Hi sir, am I audible?
Yes.
Okay. My first question is regarding the promoter stake in the quarter 4. So the promoter have nearly sold the 4% stake. So what was the reason for the same, and do we expect any further dilution in the promoter holding going forward?
Yeah, so I think first answer the second question first. We are not going to dilute. This stake sale was done in the month of February. We are not going to dilute 12 months from there. So that's already confirmed. As well as stake sale, of course, it was done because there was limited liquidity. So by this stake sale, we have been able to increase the liquidity of the stock.
Okay, sir. And sir, my second question is regarding the presentation. So there is one line in the presentation that we have commissioned the new state of the art production facility spanning across 15,000 square foot. So is this the new manufacturing facility that we have commissioned, or if yes, then how much capacity or how much incremental capacity does it bring?
Yes, this is a state-of-the-art manufacturing facility which we have set up, and you know, the target was to, you know, start manufacturing the range of those systems which we had not been manufacturing earlier. And now, as you can see, that we have introduced the new architecture of you know, our latest emission systems as well. So keeping that in mind, this facility has been set up, and you will be happy to know that with this facility, we'll also be designing the complete range of liquid cooled systems as well. And now, you know, the idea was to increase the density per rack in our case, and that is what we have, you know, this facility has helped us. And now we'll be able to scale even beyond, you know, 150 kilowatt per rack kind of an architecture. So this facility was very important for us. So that was in there, you know, in the process earlier. So now we have completed it, and we'll be targeting the larger deployment with the help of this facility.
Okay, sir. So currently, what is the total revenue capabilities that we have from all our capacity?
So basically, actually, you have to understand the company very well. This is a technology company. This is not a capacity-driven company, actually. We are a capability-driven company. We have never said, we never worked on capacity. Our capacity utilization would be around 65 to 70% only. Primarily, we are not driven by just a volume sale or something of that nature. You have to understand the basics of the company, actually. The company doesn't work on capacity. We work on capability. If tomorrow NVIDIA's new Vera Rubin is coming up, as a new, we are already set up for the partnership for that. Tomorrow, if we have to manufacture Vera Rubin based servers and their racks and all that, then definitely we need to set up something, we'll definitely set up. But again, that will not be capacity based, that will be capability based.
Okay, sir. Okay. Alright, sir. And thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Chihovo from Pittet Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, Sanjay, management, congratulations on a good year. I have two questions. Number one, globally, we see this agentic AI phenomenon this year to date.
Your voice seems very low. We are unable to hear you. Can you be a bit closer to the mic?
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so my first question is the agentic AI impact on the CPU. Year to date, we see a lot of demand after the open floor launch. So driving a lot of CPU usage. So we saw the Intel reported very, very strong earnings and outlook. So for NetWeb, I think the relationship is on the high performing computing segment where you sell the CPU server. So last year, apparently the AI system is very good, but then the HPC segment is more steady. My question is, because of this agentic AI trend, do you see a much faster acceleration in the HPC segment revenue this year and maybe next year? That's my first question.
So basically, thanks for your question. The agentic AI is definitely again one of the factors which is driving the AI actually. And as regards your relation between basically agentic AI driving HPC sales, I don't think that is going to impact. I don't think in this current year, at least in this geopolitical region, what I personally see. HPC in itself is growing very well. Basically, you are seeing HPC basically growth around, it has grown by around 31%, which is not less actually, but you are seeing the number grow because the AI has grown too much. So that is showing it that way. But let me tell you, HPC, because that's NSM, National Supercomputing Mission 2.0 is already there. Plus, basically, adoption of HPC and AI together is also happening across verticals. Across, so if you see the automobile industry is using it, there is quite a lot of use in the oil and gas and different areas. So I personally feel that the HPC will keep on growing, but definitely AI will grow at a larger pace. But as regards your question on Intel's the current development, I feel that will take some more time. to create an impact to the HPC market growth in India as such what I can understand.
Okay, understood. Thank you. My second question is regarding the healthiness of the India AI investment by the government. Because I saw some articles saying that the investment in the downstream data center, the pickup rate is quite low. So that some of these data centers, they have to rent it out to the other customers outside of the India AI mission. Can you, from your perspective, comment about how healthy is the downstream adoption of the India AI mission investment by the government? Thank you.
I see the answer to the question. So as we have explained earlier also, so Government of India is very clear at the moment that, you know, they want India to become the AI service industry for the world. And for that purpose, you know, this process of India AI mission has been going on for last, you know, almost half a decade. And the process started long back. And this mission is very clear that the investments are going on two fronts. One, that they want to basically build facilities through the CSPs. And the second is that they want to build the facilities on on-prem basis. So investment outlays, whatever has been outlined by Government of India so far, has been as part of their first, tranche of investment. And that itself clearly signifies the efforts by the Government of India. And that is going to, you know, that is anyways leaving an impact all over country, because enterprises and CSPs all are putting a, you know, putting across their efforts to build up the facility. And now going forward, the expectation is that the investments are only going to go up from here by government also and by the enterprises. So the opportunity gives us a lot of headroom to grow, and we are also going to welcome the opportunity with open hands. And the kind of work we are doing, and as you can see, the new manufacturing facility which we have set up, there is also keeping in mind that we wanted to add a new capability of designing dense GPU systems which can serve such kind of requirement coming from both the fronts, be it GSP front or the on-prem requirement front of Government of India. So we are, you know, absolutely capable, absolutely ready to address the requirement. So I think this is quite a good opportunity for us.
And the data center investment also is increasing from the corporate side also. People are really interested because they have demand on hand. And so they are also trying to, well, government is a ready buyer, so people are trying to put, it takes some time to put up the data center investment, as you understand that. But people are already working, there is a lot of interest around that. If you see the current tax, the government taxation also which they announced, so they are promoting data centers, so more and more data center investments are coming in. So we are pretty sure the kind of basically the demand we are seeing and kind of interest from the government is seeing, so things will roll on very well.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sandeep Shah from Equirus Securities. Please proceed.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good execution despite the supply chain management issue and its impact on the raw materials. Sir, the first question is, this book guidance of 35-40 and EBITDA margin of 13-14, both of which is for the base business, excluding strategic deal, how to consider this guidance?
So the revenue growth 35% is very absolute about the EBITDA margin.
So it's for the overall, this is the enterprise level guidance.
But strategic order, you are saying in the first three quarters it would be executed, so that itself is a big growth driver for the coming year.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So the growth has to be higher than 35-40, right?
So we, on the revenue,
we are guiding you the best case, don't worry at all, Sandeep.
Okay.
Because we are entering the year with 2400 crore already as an order book, okay, including the L1. That itself is a robust signal that basically we are entering the year with the order book which is more than the last year's turnover. That is where more business addition will happen. But you understand that we are not box pushers, Sandeepji. We are primarily more into proactive sellers rather than reactive sellers. So basically, we just don't want to become a broad box pusher also. The intention of the company has been to engage into more and more value-added kind of deals.
If you see my customers also, 50% is government, 50% is enterprise, and enterprise customers are also large customers primarily. So basically, those kind of business really takes time to completely loop in and get in. So I feel the kind of revenue guidance which we are giving, we will like to maintain it at 35% to 40%.
Okay. And sir, in terms of the current inventory level, it is fair to assume that the current order book to some extent can be compensated with the current inventory, which in turn to some extent will help you to maintain margin, because the inventory could be built at a price lower than the current spot rate price.
I think we will not like to guide on the inventory and the margin. Actually, overall, I like to guide you, the margins will remain at the same 13% to 14%. We have always been, you see that last year also we performed as per our guidance, and I am very sure that we will do it this year also.
Okay. And just last question, in terms of export sales, any development progress you want to share, what percentage of revenue it has?
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Shah, your voice is breaking.
I will take this call. I understood Sandeep's question. So Sandeep, basically, you know the AI demand is unabated. It's very difficult to fulfill the domestic demand itself. So really, frankly speaking, we focus on exports. We are not getting time to do it. And currently, the worldwide AI demand is embedded. So basically, let me first suffice the domestic demand, then we look into exports. So it will remain around the 5% which we have been currently doing. It will remain around that only.
Okay. And sir, last question, apart from Google, even AWS and other hyperscaler are introducing their own chip. So in this scenario, are we geared up in terms of power beyond the top three chip providers or manufacturer? Because if this scale increases through hyperscaler produced chip design, can you share the progress, how we are tying up and making sure that the motherboard design also meet a variety of chip designs?
So, really, this has been, these efforts have been going on at their end for quite some time, because, emergence of TPU is not something which has happened just now. So, we are aware of the progress which is happening on the other side of the market as well. And we are open to go in that direction also, as long as the significant development is being shown. And as you know, that we have got our in-house design teams also, that is the reason we were able to, take up the risk-based architecture so fast. So same way, we will be able to look at the other chip makers also, as long as there is a significant technological advancement at their end, which has got an acceptance in the market. So as a design team, as an OEM, we don't have any reservation to it.
Okay. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vinay Menon from Monarch Networth Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on great execution this quarter, sir. A couple of questions on my side. On the component pricing, are you seeing any kind of softness, or are we still looking at component prices being at these levels for maybe the next few quarters?
So basically, I am not supposed to guide on the component pricing on my call actually, but let me tell you, the AI demand is really unabated, so that is definitely putting pressure on the components actually, really speaking. So if it will remain unabated, definitely there will be pressure on the component prices and component supply chain. But basically, as I have always been saying that we are proactive sellers, we have good projections of what is going to come, what is not going to come. So we plan our inventories and our contracts, our relationship with OEM, really basically are aligned that way. So it doesn't impact us much. In case there is a price increase, and so basically we can always pass on to our new customers.
Okay, thank you. And a couple of more things. One is, we've seen demand move from, training to inference, last few quarters. So that is obviously less GPU dependent and more as, Sandeep mentioned, maybe TPUs are also coming in. So how are we going to get impacted in terms of the demand shifting? Are we going to see more demand with inference demand improving, or how does the economics work for us here?
Manjit, answer the question. So first of all, you know, as regards, you know, our readiness is concerned, we have always been ready to address the demand coming from the training and the infant side, both sides of the market, and that's the reason, you know, that was reflected in our new introduction of our products as well, because we have kept on adding those products also which can take care of inference exclusively, or even the products which can take care of training and inference both. So from the readiness perspective, we have been, you know, seeing the market development, and accordingly only we have designed our product based on that. And secondly, as regards, you know, whether the requirement will go up from here or it will go down, so I can definitely tell you that the demand is only going to go up from here. Reason being, on one hand, the training kind of a work has already been going on in the country and outside already. And at the same time, whatever development has been done on the training side earlier, now the time is that, you know, inference will also generate the additional demand. So I think it is good for us that inference is also taking up, you know, and this is only going to add to the overall demand. So I think it is a good situation for us to handle. And we are pretty much ready with both the type of products and both the type of solutions which can take care of the requirement.
Okay. And one more thing on the guidance of 35-40%, that is inclusive of the AI mission deal which we will execute over the next 2-3 quarters?
So the guidance on the top line is not inclusive of the strategic order, which is the normal
organic
order, which is about 35%.
Okay. That is helpful. That's all from my side. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Pooja Seth. Yes, Securities, please proceed.
First of all, thank you and congrats for having a good set of numbers. I just want a clarification. In your strategic order book, whatever when you guys generate, it is comes under your AI segment?
Yes.
Also, so as you are writing us a 35-40% growth, so could you throw some light on the segment twice in which segment you are seeing except for AI, because HPC our core business that is HPC and HPS, where I can see about 26% of growth this year. So how are we seeing this further on?
I think we give guidance overall basis. It's too much of detail to be given for a guidance. We would like to stick to the guidance on an overall basis. Thank you.
But there is some sort of guidance like in which segment you are seeing?
So basically, our all the three segments, ma'am, if you understand three segments today, please understand our core business. Okay, you understand our business, our business is HPC, our business is private cloud and AI. Now you tell me which segment will not grow, ma'am. I give you a reverse question. Basically, the segment which will grow very heavily, private cloud data center is going unabated, but AI is worldwide grown. So all the three segments, 95% of business is coming, the company is into three businesses. And all the three segments are really growing at a very good pace. So definitely that will grow. So definitely HPC and cloud, but the AI should grow at a faster pace. But I personally feel in future, I was guiding that AI should be around 25-30%. I can tell you that AI will remain around 35% of my business. Balance will be shared equally between the HPC and private cloud.
Okay. And so, one more question. As for this quarter, we have seen there was a net borrowing has increased about 270 crore. So, could you give a breakdown why this happened?
So borrowing is to fund the strategic orders. We have been these are very short term borrowings. These are no long term borrowings, and these are primarily to execute the working capital required for any large strategic orders or at the same time any regular orders which are going through. And this gets settled in a very short span of time.
So I mean, you can take it that this borrowing is transitionary.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Mansimar Singh Sethi from Sethi Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello, sir. I'm out.
Yes, please go ahead.
Sir, I wanted to know regarding our cash conversion cycle. Like, I know it's already been asked the question, but the thing is, the cash conversion cycle is more than 100 days. So, don't you think with increasing ROE and ROC, you know, it'll be difficult for us? Like, we'll be, you know, that you know, we need to reduce the cash conversion cycle drastically for that.
Drastically, no. So, I don't think it is 100 days. I think we have shared the presentation. If you had a look at the presentation, it is 84 days. And primarily because of inventory, which we have, which we have created an inventory for our large orders, which we are carrying in hand as of date. Akit can add to that.
So, yeah, correctly mentioned by Sanjeev, sir. So, it's not 100, it's around 84. And the increase is because of the inventory days. If you see the receivable days from the last quarter, it has significantly improved and inventory days has gone up on the account of stocking the critical components for potential and large orders.
And plus, basically, we have always guided that our kind of business, and it is going between 80 to 90. So I think this is not a surprise.
Okay. Actually, it was guided here only in the con call, like more than 100-120. That's why I was asking.
This has come down.
90 to 110 is our standard guidance. So yeah, but it's
we have been tested actually.
So, I think we should.
Okay. And my last second question is regarding our exports. So in the last con call, you were saying that you are tracking different exports also. So I wanted to know regarding that, any pipeline regarding our exports per se.
So, as you could, I hope you heard our answer earlier also that, you know, see the kind of market we see in the domestic space. So, we are right now, you know, trying to fulfill the demand coming from the domestic market itself because there is a lot of headroom for us to grow, addressing, you know, market, you know, the overall, incremental growth in the market and all that. So, once we are able to address the complete market here in India, definitely we will be going out as well. But, the priority right now is domestic and, since domestic is anyways giving us the required quantum of growth, so there is no harm focusing on this. But yes, going outside India is definitely, in our pipeline and we'll be focusing on that as well.
Okay. So my last question, like you have a 4,000 crore of pipeline, right? Can you tell me what percentage of that can be converted on the paper side in this financial year?
60%. No, generally the conversion is about 60%, but this will fuel about 1.5 to 2 years of, 18 to 24 months. So it's not that all of the 60% will happen this year.
Sorry to
interrupt, Mr. Sethi. May I please request you to rejoin the queue, sir, for the follow-up question.
Okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the question queue, please restrict yourself to one question only. Next question is from the line of Vatsal Agarwal, who is a retail investor. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, Vatsal, go ahead.
Sir, given the strong cash position on the balance sheet, can you explain the reason behind the increase in the short-term borrowings? Because it appears counterintuitive, sir.
So, it's not that there is the borrowings have some covenants. When we borrow the funds, we have to maintain the borrowing period for some period of time, and these are the numbers basis the reporting date. So there are RBI guidelines where the WCDs are supposed to be maintained for certain period of time. So to avoid that, that's why it's coming here, and we do have cash, but we cannot settle the borrowings with them. So they are the commitments which are given to lender in the coordination with the RBI circulars.
And secondly, sir, I was just trying to understand the business segment. Can you please explain the difference between our private cloud business segment and the AI systems business segment?
See, we have talked about it in the earlier quarters also. So the difference is just that private cloud is basically catering to a different side of the market, wherein where the convergence of compute, network, and memory happens, whereas the AI side of the market, AI system, is largely taking care of the AI workload. If you are trying to know about what is the difference in the workload type from these two markets, then the answer is this. And if you want to know about what is the difference in the from the business side of it, that who all are the probable customers from the private cloud and who all are the probable customers from the AI system side, then I can basically further explain. I hope I have answered you that the private cloud is largely for the convergence of compute, network, and the hyperconverged put together in a single platform. That is for the private cloud and SCI, whereas the AI system is largely meant for the purpose of AI workloads.
No, sir, because my question is that for data center, they should be in the AI systems business rather than the private cloud, if my understanding is correct.
So data center as such, one thing is very clear that data center is as such which cuts across all the verticals for us, product verticals, but largely, data center is largely, focused around, the private cloud and SCI for us. Reason being that the data center workloads, what we talk about, are the workloads wherein the convergence of compute with the storage and the network put together happens. So that is basically dealt in case of private cloud and SCI. That's the reason we don't count it as part of AI system, but we count it as part of private cloud. And that's how these two are related.
Thanks a lot. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rajay from WealthWire. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, so my first question is that as to what earlier participant has said, that out of your total pipeline, 50% would be converted, and out of that, some of the orders would be postponed to 1-2 years. So did I hear that correctly?
I think basically what we mentioned is, somebody asked us that pipeline, that how much time will pipeline be converted. So pipeline is a very, very dynamic situation which keeps on changing every day. So whatever on the reported date, whatever pipeline is, that pipeline normally gets, 60% of it gets converted, but it takes around 1.5 years, around 18 months to get converted.
All of it, total of it.
Okay.
So just to explain you, the conversion happens like every day, right? That's what is saying, that the pipeline which is sitting today may convert, the 100% of it is converted by 1.5 years, but will happen in tranches. And new pipeline will also keep entering into this. It's a very dynamic thing, right? Pipeline, someone will convert into order, some will go out of it, new pipeline will get entered, so this is a very dynamic situation.
Okay, and your order book, the amount is 2,400, including the N1. So I believe, as per what I'm able to understand, it gets executed in 3 to 6 months, right? So the revenue visibility for this order book is 3 to 6 months only, or am I missing something out in this?
Basically, our shipping cycle is very different. Our order cycle is somewhere around 10 to 20 weeks we normally ship out. Okay, it used to be 10 to 16 weeks, but it can be 10 to 20 weeks, it can normally go up. But as far as strategic orders are concerned, we are not guiding on the execution, but basically what I said is that the strategic orders should go in next three quarters actually, and phase-wise. And as regards the organic order book is concerned, we've seen that within 18 to 20 weeks, it should get built up.
Okay, I'm sorry. Can you bifurcate the strategic order and the your ideal order to me?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, but attachment is not...
It's a presentation.
Yeah, actually, I'm...
Very clearly, 1600 crores is the strategic order, 472 crores is the organic order, and 327 crores is my L1.
It is again organic. Okay. Okay, sir. Okay, yeah. That was all from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take this as the last question for the day. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you for taking out time and joining us. Thank you so much. Appreciate your interest.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.